chapter 2. This will be our fifth message in this series, the biography of the saved. Again, his review in looking at this biography, we've seen so far our spiritual condition prior to salvation. We were spiritually dead. We were enslaved to sin. We were under condemnation. That is summarized in verses 11 through 13. We were in the flesh, we were without Christ. We were aliens. We were strangers, having no hope, without God, far off. And again, we were all of this by nature. We didn't have to do a thing to become any of this. We were this by nature. And the life that we lived while in that condition, of course, corresponds to our condition. It was a life of living death. We were dead in trespasses and sins. It was a life enslaved in trespasses and sins. It was a life lived in direct opposition to God, wherein trespasses and sins he walked. It was a life in agreement with the world. We walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air. It was a life lived in fellowship with like, with children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. It was a life lived in fleshly desires, in the lust of the flesh and of the mind. So if you look at our condition, you look at our life prior to salvation, it is a very grim picture. But then we come to verse 4, but God. So we now enter God into the picture, and suddenly the picture begins to get a little brighter. At least now there's hope. But God, and that's the beginning of a glorious transition. Without this but God, nothing happens. We remain children of wrath, even as others. But we read, but God, who is rich in mercy, that's what we needed, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us. And that's what we looked at last week. Spiritual life was imparted. Again, we were dead. Spiritual life was imparted. In other words, we were birthed again. Then we come to verse 6. And, in addition to being quickened, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The quickening was a miracle. It was a result of the miraculous power of God. What we read here in verse 6 is yet another miracle involved in salvation. I want to speak tonight on a changed life. A changed life. We see two truths in this sixth verse. First of all, we are raised from the realm in which we lived. Again, verse 4, but God, followed by a declaration of his mercy and a declaration of his love. And then in verse 5, there is a repeated declaration of our condition, dead in sins, even when we were dead in sins. That is followed by a statement of God's activity toward us. Hath quickened us. We did not quicken ourselves. He hath quickened us. But God hath quickened us. He did so out of mercy. He did so out of love. So we have the impartation of spiritual life. That is followed by another statement of God's activity toward us. And in addition to having quickened us, hath raised us up. I believe it's two different events, and they happen almost at the same time, but it's two different events. Paul separates these two miraculous acts, verse 5, using the parenthesis, by grace are you saved. And that almost serves as a period or a partition, showing this to be two parts of salvation. There is a quickening, there is a raising. Similar to the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus come forth. Life was imparted. After life was imparted, immediately, Lazarus comes forth. He was raised from the grave. So it is with you and I. There is life imparted. The result of that is we are raised. So they're two separate events, but yet so closely related, Paul kind of joins the statements together. Hath quickened us and hath raised us up. Again, he imparts life. You can do nothing to get life. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You can do nothing to obtain that life. Everything that is necessary for salvation is a result of the life that is given us. So he raised us up. He imparts life. But he doesn't leave us in the grave. I suppose you could give life to a dead person and leave him in the grave. That wouldn't be much of a life. But he gives life and he raises up. And it corresponds to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which also is a mighty work of his power. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? And we believe according to the working of his mighty power. And he goes on to describe that mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The very power that it took to resurrect Jesus Christ from the grave, that very same power is exerted toward us in salvation. So with implantation of life, this new birth, as a result, there's repentance and faith. And the Bible always groups those two together. Repentance and faith. And there is a resurrection that takes place. So there's life imparted, repentance and faith, a resurrection takes place. Notice Colossians chapter 2. Verses 12 and verse 13. Buried with him, that is Christ, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Faith comes through the operation of God, that is the impartation of life. who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Hath quickened you with him. So what happened to Christ physically happened to us spiritually. Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the cross, laid down his life on that cross. His lifeless physical body was put in a tomb. So he's now in the realm of death. But after 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ is resurrected. He was literally raised from the realm of death by the miraculous power of Almighty God. He was taken out of the realm of death. He came out of the tomb. And Paul works this out in terms of our own experience. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were in a grave. We were in a spiritual grave. But just as Jesus Christ came out of the grave, we, by the operation of God, are out of the grave as well. We no longer live in the realm of death. The individual who is truly saved no longer lives in the realm of death. They no longer live in that sphere. Their condition is entirely a new one now. No longer are they in the realm of spiritual death. We've been raised up. Just as Christ was raised from the grave, we have been raised up. That's miraculous. We, of course, have been raised up from the depths of sin. We have been raised up from the depths of unrighteousness. This was not by our own power. It's not like he imparted life and then we of our own came out of that grave. No, he hath raised us up. He imparted life. He resurrected us out of that realm of death. Sin, of course, had brought us into the depths of defilement, but we're no longer there. We've been raised up. Sin brought us in the depths of guilt and condemnation, but we're no longer there. We have been raised up. Sin brought us into the depths of separation from God, alienation from God, estrangement from God, but we no longer live in that realm. The reason is because we've been raised up. Sin brought us out, or sin brought us into the depths of vileness and filth. But we've been raised from that realm. Sin brought us into the depths of darkness. But we've been raised from that realm. Sin brought us into the depths of enmity and rebellion against God. But we've been raised from that realm. Sin brought us into the depths of bankruptcy. But we've been raised from that realm. Sin brought us into the depths of helplessness. But we've been raised up. We no longer are in that grave. No longer in the grave of defilement. No longer in the grave of guilt. No longer in the grave of condemnation. No longer in the grave of alienation from God. No longer in the grave of darkness and helplessness. We've been raised. We've been raised by the power of God. Now notice here in verse 6, and hath. So, and in addition to life imparted, hath, that's past tense, you and I that are saved, hath been raised up. So life was imparted. He brought us out of the realm of death, and that is something that has already happened. It is something that has already taken place and hath raised us up. Now there's coming a future resurrection, but this resurrection has already taken place. And you and I were saved. So it's an event which we have experienced. Again, I don't believe that you can pass from death unto life and not know about it. And I don't believe that you can come out of a grave and not know about it. And I don't believe that you can pass from death unto life and that might make a difference in your life. And I do not believe that you can come out of a grave and that not make a difference in your life. These are miraculous events. Amen. And today, again, we have preachers, we have churches, we have various religions, various beliefs that bring this miraculous event of salvation and make it nothing more than a repeated prayer or the raising of a hand or the signing of a card. Salvation is always a miracle. You remember when Jesus Christ arose, the angel said to the women who had come to that grave, "He is not here." That's true of you and I. If our old friends were to go back and look for us in the trespasses and sins, He is not here. And the reason we're not there is because we've been resurrected. Life has been imparted, and we've been raised from that grave. Now, why would anyone want to go back and live in a grave? Graves are not for the living. Graves are for the dead. And the grave of sin is not for the child of God. No longer in the grave. No longer in the realm of death. And our salvation is comparable to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a complete change in the realm in which Christ existed when He came out of that grave. He would now be manifest in a new way. And so it is with us. Christ was no longer in a grave, so He left the grave clothes behind. Because you see, the grave clothes are suitable to the grave. We're to leave all that behind because we're no longer in the grave. To go back to our old way of living, that old way of living is gone or should be. That is suitable to the grave. That is suitable to being dead in trespasses and sins. But we're no longer there. We're now spiritually alive, no longer spiritually dead, no longer in the realm of spiritual death. And no longer do we wear the grave clothes. According to Isaiah 12, we now wear robes of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, not the grave clothes. And it all goes back to a miracle that has taken place in our life and hath raised us up. No longer children of wrath. No longer. Why? Why aren't I a child of wrath? Because I joined the church? Has nothing to do with it. Because I made a decision? I was dead. I was dead. It's all due to the miraculous work of the Lord. No longer children of wrath. Again, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We no longer live in the realm of trespasses and sins. We don't do that to get to heaven. We do that as a result of a miracle that has taken place. No longer live in the realm of trespasses and sins. No longer under the dominion of sin. Now the Bible, of course, is filled with miracles. Marvelous miracles. And none of us were there when God spoke the world into existence. 6 days of miraculous wonders. But that doesn't surpass the miracle of salvation. We weren't there when the Lord rolled back the Red Sea and later rolled back the Jordan River. Again, the miraculous. But it doesn't surpass the miracle of salvation. We weren't there when he brought down the walls of Jericho. But again, that doesn't surpass the miracle of salvation. We weren't there for all the miracles of Christ in the Gospels. Giving sight to the blind. Giving hearing to the deaf. Giving strength to the crippled. All miracles. Raising Lazarus from the grave. But none of those miracles, none of the miracles recorded in the Word of God surpassed the day when the Lord imparted life and raised us from the grave. That is a miraculous event. He lifted us from a life of sin. He lifted us from a life of shame. He raised us up from what we deserved as a wicked sinner against God. But God hath raised me up. It's a miracle. It's something too marvelous for words. The miracle of salvation. So we've been raised from one realm. And we've been placed in another. We've been placed in another. Notice here again in verse 6. And hath raised us up together. And in addition to being raised. Raised was in addition to being quickened. So in addition to being raised, made, past tense again. Us, who's the us? Well, it's those who have been quickened and risen. He made us, the quickened and risen, sit together in heavenly places. Now, Christ, after he was risen from the grave, did not remain indefinitely on earth. He ascended back into heaven. And he's now seated at the right hand of God in glory. For you and I that are saved, this also has happened to us in a spiritual sense. Notice again verse 6, made us sit together in heavenly places. Heavenly places are mentioned back in Ephesians 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It has reference to the heavenlies. And it could just as easily read the heavenlies. So what is that? Well, it's the realm in which we have been brought as the result of regeneration and resurrection. We no longer live in the grave. We have been transferred to heavenly places or to the heavenlies. It is a place in which the glory and presence of God are manifested in a marvelous and wonderful manner. And that is where we now live, as a child of God. It is in complete contrast to verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3, we see our past condition, we see our past life. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But now, we're in heavenly places. Quite a contrast. We've changed realms. Quickened and raised, we now have an entirely new and different position. Sitting in heavenly places. That's victory. That's victory. We were as dead men walking, belonging to the world, bound by the world in every respect, in our minds, in our outlooks, in our understanding, in our enjoyments, in our hopes, and in our desires. They were all confined to the world, entirely confined to the world. We were dead men walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were fulfilling the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But even when we were in that condition, we were given life, we were raised, and we were settled in heavenly places, or in the heavenlies. Life has been changed completely. We've been raised to a life above this world. When you think of the heavenlies, you think of that which is above this world. And we have been raised to a life that is above this world. We have been given life. We have been raised. And we've been raised to a life above the world. We now belong to a heavenly sphere. No longer controlled by the world. No longer led by the mindset of the world. No longer led and governed by what you see other people do. We've been raised from that life. Now there are those today who would have you to believe that salvation doesn't make a bit of difference in their life. It only saved them from hell and absolutely makes no difference in their life. But you will not prove that by the Word of God. Our realm of living has changed. As a child of God, we're no longer controlled by this world. And everyone who professes faith in Jesus Christ that is controlled by this world needs to make honest examination. We no longer of the mindset of this world. Our mindset was changed. And those who profess Jesus Christ, who still have the same mindset of the world, their mindset is no different than the world's mindset, needs to make honest examination. They won't, but they need to. No longer governed by what you see other people do. Words that should never flow out of a child of God's life is, everybody else is doing it. That's the way you talk. That's the way you lived when you were unsaved. That's not how a child of God, that doesn't even come into the equation for a child of God. Though we were dead men walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, we no longer live in that realm. And it's not a decision we made. It's a miracle that took place in our life. The miracle of salvation. We no longer belong to that realm which is doomed to destruction. That's why we were called children of wrath. We were dead men walking, led by the mindset of this world, led by the evil spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. But things have changed. We've been made alive. We've been raised. And we've been seated in the heavenlies. We're now in the realm where we are near to God. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, you go down to verse 12 and 13, you see that we were far from God. We were alienated from God. We were strangers. But now we're in the heavenlies. We live in that place that is near to God. Seated. Made to sit. Seated. That's victory. Made us sit together in heavenly places. That is an actual event that has taken place in every one of us that are saved. It is a fact. We have been seated in the heavenlies, which is the sphere in which God manifests Himself. God manifests Himself to us. In our unsaved state, we could not go beyond this world. We couldn't go beyond the world. And we knew nothing beyond the world. But things have changed. We've been made alive. We've been raised. We've been made to sit in the heavenlies. And now our life is in complete contrast to what it once was. And this goes, and our life is in contrast to what it once was, and that goes back to this fact that I have been quickened, I have been raised, and I have been made to sit in heavenly places. It all goes back to what God has done. When the Lord saved our souls, our friends said they got religion. No, they didn't get religion. The Lord saved me. Religion can't save anyone. Again, it's all summarized in verses 11 through 13. But notice in particular, verse 13, but now. But now. That is in contrast to verse 11 in times past and in verse 12 at that time, all referring back to verses 1 through 3. There was a time when we were enclosed and trapped in trespasses and sins. But now. But now we're in Christ. There was a time when we were spiritually dead, at enmity with God, hopelessly lost, living in the filthiness and vileness of sin, hopelessly enslaved to our sins and to Satan and to the world and on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. But now. What changed? But God hath. God hath given us life. God hath raised us up. God hath made us sit in the heavenlies. We were dead, we were depraved, we were defiled, we were deceived, we were disobedient, we were doomed. But now, everything's changed. Everything's changed. We were gross offenders of God. We were the very enemies of God. We were ungodly rebels. We were guilty, with no righteousness of our own. We were in the depths of sin. We were in the depths of vileness. But now, in Christ Jesus, In other words, redeemed, justified, reconciled, have peace with God, sheltered securely, and will be glorified eternally. But now, all because of what God has done, my now is no longer in verses 1 through 3. My now is in the heavenlies. My now is in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a wondrous change has been wrought. I remember very well my dad saying, after the Lord saved me, he'll get over it. Haven't yet. Not going to. It's just a phase. He'll get over in a couple weeks. Salvation is not something you get over. If you get over it, I doubt seriously you have it. I'm now spiritually alive, spiritually resurrected, spiritually seated. And that is to be manifest in my life. That is to be manifest in all of our lives. Salvation gives us a wonderful life. There's no better life that can be lived on earth than the saved life. And it's all because of Him. In our lives, we've been made alive, we've been resurrected, and our lives are to be alive unto God, because that's what we've been made. So in salvation, there is a change, a thorough change. A thorough change in the depths of our soul that manifests itself in life. And why wouldn't someone who professes that this event has taken place, why wouldn't they want that change to be made manifest? But salvation today, people will get little children, adults too, but they pray in children. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Oh yeah, that's where I want to go. No, I don't want to go to hell. And they use Jesus as a fire escape from hell. And they use the gospel as a fire escape from hell. And people say a prayer or do whatever the preacher tells them to do, and they are confident that they're not going to go to hell because they said a prayer or whatever. Salvation is more than a deliverance from hell. It is a changed life. In fact, when I deal with little children, if children come to me and they're concerned about their souls, and out of their mouth come these words, I don't want to go to hell, I change the subject. They're not coming because they're a sinner. They're coming because they're afraid of hell. In salvation, you come as a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But here's what a lot of adults do. The child comes and says, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, we don't want you to go to hell either. And then they proceed to give them salvation. But it's not salvation. It's a farce. I'm not saying little children can't be saved. I'm not saying that at all. But when a child comes to Christ, they'll come as a sinner, not merely as one who's afraid of going to hell. They come as a guilty sinner before God. I have sinned. I have sinned. That's what I want to hear. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I'm guilty before God. That's the Holy Spirit working. Thank God there is salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank God that most of us here have experienced that salvation. And if you haven't, that's your greatest need today, is salvation that only the Lord can bring. I will not try to convince you that you're saved. If someone comes to me and they're doubting their salvation, I don't try to convince them that they're saved. I try to take them back to where they profess there was salvation. I'm not going to try to convince someone they're saved. That's the Lord's business. And oh, how we ought to appreciate the salvation that we have. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.